And then we can have the royalties conversation depending on kind of where we are. So with that being said, the marketplace will open up on Ethereum. Emblem is deployed on Polygon and it is deployed on BNB. Those two different legacy collections will not be at launch, but ultimately there will be a marketplace for everything, for every chain that we're deployed on. And there's a quote here that says we're building towards a chain agnostic marketplace. And again, I will explain this. Because it's a little bit opposite of what's happening in today's market across the industry. So chain agnostic marketplace is you can list in any currency, you could purchase in any currency, and you can have your asset delivered on any chain, right? The unique value prospect of Emblem is that you can take a Nakamoto card and take it to Bitcoin, take it to Ordinals, take it to Counterparty, take it to Atomicals, take it to Blast or Solana or whatever, right? And so the whole idea here is, I'll use this example, and some people might get mad because I used it last time. Imagine you have a CryptoPunk, right? Imagine you have an alien punk and you want to list it for 1500 ETH, right? Or at least 2000 ETH, right? You want to list it for 2000 ETH, which is like $6 million, I think today, or maybe $7 million. You take your CryptoPunk, you vault it, it's on Ethereum, you list it for 2000 ETH, which is about $7 million. There's a buyer on the other side who wants to purchase it in Bitcoin, and they actually want the alien punk delivered on Solana because they want to go farm with it. The goal is to have this all basically built into one kind of unique experience that flows well. Again, that's never been done. It's a little bit different from what you see the other marketplaces doing, where they're building individual native experiences, and then they use a wallet to basically kind of smooth over that process. We're going about it in the Emblem Vault way, which is a chain agnostic marketplace where you get one collection page, right? You only need one wallet, and you can do it in whatever your preferred currency is. So again, that's not going to be easy. Yo, GM Adam, who is not in his house, but he's doing something down there in Costa Rica, man. Where are you at?
I'm outside my house. I had the fumigators in and it ran over a bit what I anticipated, and not sure if I feel comfortable sitting inside my house that's just been sprayed with a bunch of killer poison. So I don't know. I'm outside of my deck.
Roger that, man. Well, I appreciate everyone who's joining us. We'll give a little bit of time so that everyone can join the spaces. I do see we're almost at 200 already live viewers. So as we know, historically, everyone watches the live stream because I spend some time putting together these nice little fancy presentations that I just know Adam absolutely adores and loves.
You know me, man. I love PowerPoints, bro. I'm all about the PowerPoint.
Yeah, we spent the last week down in New York. That was a lot of fun, man. Adam, what was your takeaway from NFT NYC?
Memes, man. It's all about memes, meme coins. I mean, it's literally it's the thing of the day. I was telling you right offline before we got on, it was like old childhood friend of mine's like, what's going on with this and that? I was like, oh shoot, we are in the middle of it right now. This is middle of bull run, because obviously it's the normies are here. When you start getting those DMs, man, you know it's the middle of bull run season. So we're definitely here.
Yeah, we definitely are. Chris, man, who also spent an entire week down in New York with us, man. What was your singular takeaway from NFT NYC?
Yo, good morning. Good morning. Good to be back. Takeaway from NYC is, yeah, totally agree with Adam. Bitcoin NYC, meme coin NYC, basically anything but NFTs, which is kind of bullish maybe for the market. You know, people are kind of checking out different avenues. So I think maybe it's time to kind of start looking through there. But it's good to see the crypto community super active, really great events, met a ton of cool people, and pretty excited about what's to come.
Yeah, I think between the five or six different events I went to, I think five of them were Bitcoin related events.
Totally.
So it's literally meme coins and ordinals. So it's kind of just an extension from what we experienced at ETH Denver, which was literally all about Bitcoin.
It's funny. It's like, I wonder if, you know, with the halving coming up and everybody talking about runes and what's going to happen with the runes, I wonder if, you know, because everybody's focused on it, everybody expects it to blow up, then maybe we should be looking somewhere else. I don't know. It's just my gut feel right now, but we can talk about that more tomorrow on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, BRC20s are pumping. So maybe people are like, hey, fuck runes. Let's go back to BRC20.
Bro, it's crazy, right?
Who knows, man? Those that are in the spaces, make sure that you guys retweet this. Or if you are one of the live streamers, make sure that you repost it on Twitter. Go to the Emblem account. Make sure that everyone can come in and watch Town Hall. As I've learned now, I think this is what, the third or fourth presentation I've created. I think the third one. Our community is quite diverse in the way that they consume content. Some people like the live audio. Some people like the live streaming. Some people want a Twitter thread. Some people just want me to sit there and have a 3-hour conversation explaining every little detail with them. So we're going to repackage this as much as we can in terms of shortening it out, cutting out, you know, this kind of dead air in the beginning, so that people can get straight to the point. We'll post the slides tomorrow on Twitter, that you guys can reshare that and pin it to the top, and we'll kind of run that way. So without further ado, then, if anyone has any questions along the way, please post, if you're listening to on Spaces, in the bottom right-hand corner, that little conversation bubble, go ahead and hit that and post a comment there, or hop on the live stream and post a comment there, and we are happy to pause and go over everything that we've been discussing over the last year, or I guess the last, yeah, this is a year in progress, or a year and a half now since we've been at Emblem. So here we are in April 10th 2024. Emblem has been cooking. This last month was a lot of back end progress, a lot of back end reorganization, more that's coming to it. Very similar topics that we've discussed the last two times. I'm sure some people are probably a little bit tired of it, but as I've learned, development takes some time, and we're going to break down all of it. Emblem legacy migration, right? Some of the focuses over this last month have been Counterparty, Doge Party, Namecoin Stamp, metadata, which always seems to be a never-ending issue, and some of the back-end stuff. Go into COVOL, some of the progress there, the SDK, which has been making a lot of inquiries from a handful of different development teams. I know we still have the D desk that is still waiting. Give us some updates on that. Emblem Markets and Emblem.Finance are both coming along quite fantastically. And then we'll talk about what's going to happen here for quarter two, right? Quarter two is April, May, and June of 2024. So what's happened since the last town hall? I think I'm going to make this just like the immediate new slide for all of these. It's just kind of like, what the hell have you guys been working on since last update? So we pushed a handful of new APIs. Swapna has been really crushing a lot of this backend stuff. So she created some APIs for Emblem.Finance V2 and Emblem Markets. If you don't know, this is just a little bit of kind of information. A lot of these marketplaces and front ends are very data heavy and data rich. And so we have to basically create APIs and databases for that. So we had to create some Emblem Finance V2 APIs, which are related to something called the Vault Activity, which we'll go into, and then Emblem Markets will go into as well. We had to update our Counterparty API, which again, Counterparty seems to be a big issue for us going forward, because there's literally one API. We created a Dark Farms curated collection as BOEM kind of went to, what was it, $1 billion in 2 days or something like that. That was kind of like some of the most historic kind of stuff I've ever seen. That was quite wild. So we created that Dark Farms curated collection. This is actually the first artist-based Emblem collection. So I give props off to the community and the team for really putting this together. There were some customizations. I had to get in contact with Jamie, who runs Robot Coffee Love, or Love Coffee, to help get a JSON for this. I do want to note here as well, there's a handful of Counterparty communities that ask us, hey, why is there no traits for Spells of Genesis or Age of Chains or this Doge Party collection? It's because none exists. So if you want to be the one that creates this the traits and sends it to us, we'll vet it and post it. But again, right, there's no real way to go about this. The reason why we have metadata for Rare Pepe and Fake Rares is because Al from Pepe.wtf provided it to us. So if there is any collection that's missing traits outside of the general traits that you see, like the timestamp and the year and some of these things, like, it needs to be created. So Please reach out to us if you are one of those upset parties. MBells, again, right, another ongoing thing. I believe Shannon said he's minted all of the MBell vaults now. We basically had to, for those that aren't aware, when we did the MBells mint, we had to cut it off at around 9,200 mints because it was just getting DDoSed and there was a lot of bots. And then ultimately, to mint those remaining 800, we had to finish building out our bulk minting tool, which Shannon did. So, which was kind of a positive. I know the MBells community is not very happy with us because they haven't gotten traits, but it is something that we're working on. So, I believe Shannon's been able to mint up to 30 vaults in a single transaction. All the bulk minting features will be coming to Emblem Markets when that is live. We also contracted a third developer to help us with network support. So this is basically deploying Emblem on any chain, deploying Emblem on Bitcoin Ordinals, on Solana, on Blast, on Ethscriptions, whichever blockchain that you want. If there's an ownership component to it, we can deploy on it. So we had to contract somebody that the development team was very familiar with, who is helping them build that out. That is one of the key things going forward. And then completed the UX and UI build out for Emblem.finance v2 and Emblem Markets. We are testing those. I actually purchased MBell's 9.11, ironically, off of the Emblem Markets marketplace. So a lot of progress there. So Koval, there was some new exchange listings, right? Bybit, Blofin, Plena. This is maybe like a week old, but those perpetual exchanges are averaging about $5 million per day in volume. I don't know if you guys are derivatives traders, but that's basically people going long or short on our beloved Koval.
Wow.
Right?
Crazy.
Like, yeah, there was actually another wallet. So there's like this whale wallet who bought, my numbers might be off, but it was one wallet who purchased 7.5% of the supply. I believe they did purchase more. And there is a second wallet that has acquired a few percentages as well.
Do we think those are exchanges or do we think those are individuals?
That's the Koval chat believes it's an exchange.
Yeah, makes sense.
To be determined. I don't know. I'm kind of on the speculative side that, and again, this is my own opinion. It could just be like a Coinbase degen who just has a bunch of money, who's just like speculating on the Coinbase lawsuit. And when Coinbase wins, I think everything, all 250 tokens on Coinbase will probably see some value appreciation. So maybe they're front running it. Maybe it's an exchange, right? They're, except maybe they've been watching these town halls and they love what we're working on. And they're excited for what the upcoming tokenomic compatibility is, right? So that's down here at the bottom. As I've mentioned before, any Koval utility and ecosystem integrations are coming after Emblem Markets and Emblem.finance v2 launch. Although I do believe we have actually settled on what the next component is of this tokenomic completion, right? Related to fuel and the next vision of what fuel is, right? That's something that was, for those that aren't aware, Koval and fuel was supposed to be this dual token system that was created and I guess previously thought of by Shannon back in 2017, right? So it's been about 7 years since that original vision. And so we're exploring all options. I do believe we do have a pretty firm idea on what is coming for that. But again, that won't come until after Emblem Markets and Emblem.finance is launched, because there's no reason to launch another token when you basically only have half a ecosystem that works, right? A lot of shit's broken. More things need to be fixed. And, right, we just got to get our stuff together. So that's the most honest take. I tell you guys, I just give it to you straight. I'm not sugarcoating anything. To me, it's just like, hey, if you want us to build in public, then you got to ride with us, right? If we're going to build in public, yeah. I'm going to do these updates. And we're not going to participate in this hype marketing, which is like what PFP collections do. And we're more in like a Web2 infrastructure kind of build where you're just giving updates as you build. Like that's the process. You get to go with us through the highs and lows. Emblem Legacy. Again, this is something that we desperately need to solve as soon as possible, which is getting some progress. So Emblem Legacy was our first collection that was home to 48,000 NFTs across about 12 different collections or 12 different blockchains and about 40 different collections. Back in July, we decided, hey, the only way to scale Emblem is to move to this V2 model, this curated model. And in order to do that, we have to take all 48,000 of these NFTs and migrate them into 40 different individual collections. What we thought was going to be 3 weeks is now extended to 9 months. So we want this done as soon, just as much as everyone else does. There's a lot of things along the way we've learned. We've had to build a ton of things to build this. But in short, about there's 22,000 legacy vaults that remain of the 48,000. Shannon's been working really well on this metadata standard. Again, right, you'll see these in like the metadata standard, which is just like every collection gets these no matter what. You see these on like some of the protocol collections like Doge Party and Namecoin. You'll see it says like timestamp and some of the basic ones. So that's kind of like setting a standard across the board. And then again, as I said before, any individual traits, right? Like if you're on Spells of Genesis and you want it to show, I don't even know what the traits are for Spells of Genesis, to be honest, right? Series or year, I guess, or something like that. Something specific where like with Rare Pepe, where it says series number and card number, that has to be submitted by the collection owners. We did build a migration button inside all the legacy vaults. So where you click and it will migrate it for you. There is no vaulting fee on this. Not all collections are live as well. I did post a spreadsheet that is in the announcements that goes over what is live. We're burning through a lot of these. The big issue is counterparty. I'm unsure what specifically about it. I think there's a handful of variables to it, but counterparty seems to be the tough one. I think it's partly on Emblem side. I think it's partly on counterparty side, but with new upgrades coming, and I believe counterparty just pushed an upgrade yesterday, I think. As they progress and build more firm infrastructure, we can as well. Shannon's working on it. So he's been dedicated to Task Legacy. This is like our number one priority to get done. And Swapna is working on all the backend things because we do need this done as soon as possible. Unlock. So legacy vaults are migrate and unlock only. There's no minting. There's some people who have came to Discord recently wanting to mint into the legacy collection. That is done. There's no more minting in the legacy collection ever again. That is done. It's in maintenance mode. And what that means is that your assets are safe. It just means we're not pushing any new upgrades. To be honest, we actually can't push a lot of these upgrades. Like, for example, a lot of people have asked about bulk unlocking, right? Where you can unlock 50 vaults in a single transaction. That's coming. That'll be in the curated collections. You can't even add that to legacy because of how it was built in 2020. So that was one of the main reasons why we've moved past it. Making some progress. Hopefully, this will be done very, very soon. The Emblem SDK has got a lot of attention recently. This is basically Emblem in a box. What it means by that is like what you see on emblem.finance, you can basically build on your own. A handful of teams have reached out to us for a large variety of reasons. Everything from the D desk, which is the D gods multi-chain swap desk. Somebody asked me when that was being released, it's up to the D gods team. From what I've seen, they've built it, most of it, and it's really up to them. It's on their schedule. Again, right, the SDK is us publishing our tools and people can use it and dissect it in any type of way. We've actually talked with a handful of Bitcoin layer twos. I won't name the names. I've probably talked with all of them. There's been a lot of interest in Emblem being added to these Bitcoin L2s, right? Because they are basically EVM machines that have a focus on Bitcoin assets. What has Emblem been doing for 4 years is EVM assets using EVM to take Bitcoin assets cross-chain. So a lot of compatibilities there. Some other things people have reached out to us is doing ERC-20 collections. So things like, I don't want to name any of the specific ones, but for example, we'll take
the coin shall remain nameless.
Right. We'll use one like that's not created yet. But if we create like a collection for Dogecoin, right? Somebody can store Dogecoin, the cryptocurrencies, in a vault, and then somebody can build an escrow contract to basically take those vaults and issue, I guess you would call it VDoge, vaulted Doge, on the other side is an ERC-20. So we've gotten a lot of requests for turning things into fungible assets. And you could do this with NFTs as well. In the past, somebody has taken Feels Good Man, which is one of the popular rare Pepes that's created by Matt Fury. Somebody, this was over a year ago, basically built an escrow contract that accepts the Feels Good Man and mints you Feels tokens on the other side. So
yep.
A lot of cool ideas there. We're going to continue building on the SDK. This is where Shannon is pushing all the updates. So if you follow that page, you could go to docs.emblem.wiki. I updated a lot of this. Shannon's been updating it as well. And if there's anything custom that you need, then we're going to do it. And we'll talk about some of that in the Emblem Markets slide.
I think one of the recent examples, just so give people ideas of like what's possible, is the Xcopy Fly. Somebody built a contract that allowed you to take the Xcopy, I don't know what they're called, mutatos on Base, put them into a contract, and then basically kick out coins on the other side. Emblem basically allows that, but across chains. So I think there are some really interesting opportunities which people will play around with during this cycle that could hit, you know, so lots of opportunities there.
Here's some brand new information we haven't released yet. So the marketplace fee of Emblem Markets will be 1%, which is at least 50% cheaper than any other marketplace outside of Blur. But Blur does not support ERC 1155. So from my knowledge, this will be the lowest fee of any Rare Pepe supported marketplace. I'm going to be honest, guys, our goal here was to actually do 0% marketplace fee. We sat and negotiated with our infrastructure provider for literally 2 months to try to get this to a 0% fee and create some sort of enterprise negotiation on the back end, and they would not do it. They would not budge. So their fee is 0.5% on trading volume. So we push it to 1 so we could make a portion of that back. But ultimately, our goal is to get it to 0%. The majority of the team, I think all of the team, believes that marketplace fees are probably trending towards 0 as well. And Emblem has a unique value prospect where we also have vaulting fees and some other ways to monetize. And where Emblem Markets is going is that it's going to only list Emblem vault collections to start, right? So there's about 69 collections actually that'll be listed when we launch. We can add other collections like non-vaulted collections, but that's not our goal here with Emblem Markets. It's to create a preferred experience for our customers, for our users, right? For our vaulters. And so the initial goal isn't to come out and say, hey, we're going to dethrone OpenSea, or we're going to dethrone Magic Eden or Blur, whatever the case is. It is to build an experience that nobody else can really fuck with, to be honest. And that we want to give the best offer for everything that is Emblem Markets and Emblem Vault and Emblem Finance. So with that being said, 1% marketplace fee will be the starting price, with the eventual goal to get it down to 0, hopefully. Our infrastructure provider said they'd be open to negotiating with us down the road. But for now, that was not the case. So just putting that information out there. There will not be any royalties to begin, just because we need to get a foothold in the marketplace, in the marketplace market. That's funny to say. And really figure out what's the best for A. If we are going to add royalties, it's honestly going the Rare Pepe and Fake Rares collection will be the first one that we do. But again, I've never built a marketplace. Shannon's never built a marketplace. Adam's never built a marketplace. The only person who has marketplace experience is Swapna, who worked at Coinbase for 5 years. So you got to let us kind of work and smooth this out over the next few months as we release this. And then we can have the royalties conversation depending on kind of where we are. So With that being said, the marketplace will open up on Ethereum. Emblem is deployed on Polygon and it is deployed on BNB. Those will not, those two different legacy collections will not be at launch, but ultimately there will be a marketplace for everything, for every chain that we're deployed on. And there's a quote here that says we're building towards a chain agnostic marketplace. And again, I will explain this because it's a little bit opposite of what's happening in today's market across the industry. So chain agnostic marketplace is you can list in any currency, you could purchase in any currency, and you can have your asset delivered on any chain, right? The unique value prospect of Emblem is that you can take a Nakamoto card and take it to Bitcoin, take it to Ordinals, take it to Counterparty, take it to Atomicals, take it to Blast or Solana or whatever, right? And so the whole idea here is, I'll use this example, and some people might get mad because I used it last time. Imagine you have a CryptoPunk, right? Imagine you have an alien punk and you want to list it for 1,500 ETH, right? Or at least 2,000 ETH, right? You want to list it for 2,000 ETH, which is like $6 million, I think, today, or maybe $7 million. You take your CryptoPunk, you vault it, it's on Ethereum, you list it for 2,000 ETH, which is about $7 million. There's a buyer on the other side who wants to purchase it in Bitcoin, and they actually want the alien punk delivered on Solana because they want to go farm with it. The goal is to have this all basically built into one kind of unique experience that flows well. Again, that's never been done. It's a little bit different from what you see the other marketplaces doing, where they're building individual native experiences, and then they use a wallet to basically kind of smooth over that process. We're going about it in the Emblem Vault way, which is a chain agnostic marketplace where you get one collection page, right? You only need one wallet and you can do it in whatever your preferred currency is. So again, that's not going to be easy. That's going to take a while to do, actually, as we had PSBT support and some of these other things. The application store, you'll see here on the next slide, the apps will be products that Emblem releases. So things like our bulk minting tool, emblem.finance, the vault pad. It'll also showcase things that users use the SDK for and build. So we'll showcase the Dedesk and some of these other ERC20 portals and some of these other products that people use. You will get literally free advertisement directly on the marketplace in the app store. So we hope that people, this encourages people to use the SDK because it is open source. And with the SDK, there are revenue sharing opportunities. So reach out to us for that. The marketplace will have all the common features, buy, sell, transfer, sweeps, bids, bulk buys, etc. It will have ERC-721, ERC-1155 support. And it will be mobile compatible. So you can use the markets on your mobile phone, which I know has been the complete opposite experience of Emblem Vault, because emblem.finance is not usable on mobile, right? The V2 will, though. And we are exploring this idea of boutique storefronts, which we've had some people reach out to us. I won't name the names, but in this example, somebody has generated a meme coin on Solana, right? But all of their collections are on Bitcoin and on ETH. How do you basically merge that together? And with Emblem Markets, we could create things like boutique storefronts where it's just an individually curated experience for you. I would suppose most of this is probably for artists, but it could be for collections as well. They say, hey, I want to vault my, right? I want to vault my Bitcoin NFTs on ETH, but I want to be able to do the bidding and selling and purchasing with my Solana meme coin that I've just created. And that's kind of the experience of a boutique storefront. I think that's a really cool, unique value prospect. And when? As soon as possible, to be honest. again, Emblem Markets, the front end, is being developed by Bunzi. I think that's already like a publicly known thing. And then we have Swapna working on the back end. And it's a cross-pollination kind of thing. I'll show you here the next slide so we could keep it here on repeat so you guys could kind of see the progress of it. But again, this is, I literally took this video yesterday. So I know a lot of, I know this is kind of good, defeats the whole tech prospect of the voila kind of moment, the hype moment. But again, this is where we're at with it. So this is going to be the Emblem Vault marketplace, known as Emblem Markets. It is really curated to be more of kind of like a collector's marketplace, more than a little bit of the trading experience, which was something that we're going for. And you can see here there's apps. And again, right, this is still not completely done. Bunzi still has to smooth out the front end, and then we have to link up some of the APIs that we've built on the back end. But we've built it, we're building it in a way to where if you need a collection minted, we can probably get it live within a day on there, and then eventually just user generated collections as well. Adam, been a little quiet. I know your house is fumigating at the moment. But what do you think? What kind of things, what type of impact do you think Emblem Markets will have on the entire Emblem Vault ecosystem?
I think it's really to be determined still. This idea of a cross-chain marketplace or cross-chain interoperability, we're still at the early stages. And so I think part of it is putting it out there as this ability for people to use. And I think that's where it can get really exciting. And I know we're excited about it, with use cases that, you know, just people think up, not we think up. We're providing the tools for people to actually build these things. I think that's where it gets really exciting, especially with the happening coming up. Obviously, the tremendous, ridiculous hype around runes and stuff. Like, just it's kind of all coming together. This really feels like a bull market where we've gone multi-chain. The whole space is multi-chain now. And what's going to happen with this cross-chain interoperability? I don't really know, but I'm excited for it to be available for creators to actually do stuff, which is interesting and that we haven't necessarily thought about. Maybe nobody's necessarily thought about, but the opportunity to actually do those things is now available. And I think I couldn't be more bullish on that. Like, it's just, it seems like the timing is now. And so I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, cross-chain is definitely getting some attention. When we were at New York, there was a new thing that, outside of the Bitcoin L2s, there's a Bitcoin L2 that's Solana-based that just popped up. And I was like, okay, well, I guess if everything's an L2, then Emblem is in the best position of them all because we could deploy on any of these chains. We'll make it interoperable, right? If you want to take Bitcoin assets and focus on Solana, which is something we've been saying for months now, literally probably 6 months. Now somebody's actually building that. So you have all these kind of like siloed experiences that are leveraging just one unique aspect of some chain, right? They want to take Bitcoin assets, go to Solana because it has higher throughput. People are using EVM for Bitcoin L2s because the EVM is just much further along. So there's a lot more kind of interoperability. We could kind of package all that together and showcase it through Emblem Markets. So it's an exciting time, to say the least. Again, I hope this will be out literally as soon as possible is really the goal. That's really all I have to say. It should have been out now, but it's not. And so,
wait, I thought it was going to be the end of the month. I thought that we're already, how many days late are we now?
Yeah.
10 days late.
At the end of the day, we have more contracted devs than we do actually full-time devs, which is kind of, yeah, which is actually a little bit difficult because when you're contracting somebody, it's not like a, hey, you're on salary and you work for the team. Yeah, I'm kind of just like chasing people around every day. Like, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? So it's a lot of give and pull, but I know Bunzi is working on this. Pretty good. He actually just messaged me. So he's working on the APIs today, Bunzi is. So that is active progress. Emblem Finance V2, right? We showed this a little bit. I'll show it in the next slide. It's a complete overhaul of the design. The vaulting fee will remain as $20. These are some new things coming to Emblem.Finance that you really need to be aware of. So because we're doing 1% marketplace fees, Emblem's got to create some additional business models. And so it is very likely that unvaulting fees and jumping fees will be added at some point in quarter two. This means, right, just like it takes $20 to mint a vault, it'll probably be the same price to unvault or to move across chain. The trend right now is kind of tokenomics and fees. This is what most protocols and products are doing, right? Whether you're Wormhole or your Friendtech, right? Or your literally OpenSea or Blur, this is what everyone does. They add fees to their foundation and then they add tokenomics over it so that their users can have incentive to, you know, make some of those fees back or even become a profitable person with participation. So I think we're going to be following a similar model here and it'll be leveraged throughout all of our different products. But we will give you at least, I would say probably a month in advance because, right, unvaulting fee, let's say you have 200 vaults, right? Now it costs you $4,000 to unlock all of those. You're going to need some ample time to figure out what you want to do. There's a possibility also before we do add both these fees that we do just do like a week or two of free so that people, if you really want to exit the ecosystem, then by all means, please do it. These will not be at unvaulting fees will not be added to Emblem Legacy again, right? Because Emblem Legacy is from 2020. So you literally can't even add unvaulting fees to the collection itself. So Emblem Finance will be on mobile, which is a huge, huge upgrade. Oh my God, so nice. The fact that Emblem has made it this far without a mobile experience is quite baffling to me still at times. But you'll be able to do all your vaulting kind of interactions and vaulting experience through mobile. And that will be a huge support. Wallet Connect, this was another issue with Emblem Finance, the front end. It only works with MetaMask. Now it works with literally any wallet, whether you're doing it using Coinbase Wallet, right, or Rainbow, or any of the whole sort. I think it's like there's over 100 different options. So that is another upgrade, which is literally just a standard. So it really shouldn't even be an issue. Vault Activity Page, this is something that the team wanted, which I know a handful of the communities wants as well. This is this tab to where you can see all vault activity across the ecosystem, whether there's vaults or unvaults or transfers on any chain for any asset that will be on emblem.finance. And we will be adding a leaderboard as well for three categories. I believe it's most vaults owned, most vaults minted, most vaults burnt. I'll let you speculate on the reasoning for that, but just know that that is also coming. And when, this is similar process. This is in progress. This is actually much further along than emblem.markets is. I would say emblem.finance that you see here on the live stream, V2, is probably like 98% done. There's really one thing left to be built. And this has been in progress also for like 9 months. So we're as ready as you guys are to literally get all of this launched and coordinated. As you can see here on the stream, that the in-vault experience is going to be a little bit different, but this is a little bit more modernized to what users are comparable to seeing. Also, this will be reskinned to match emblem.markets. We actually started building emblem.finance before emblem.markets. So it has a little bit of a different UI, or I guess UX, and we will make it match emblem.markets, which the theme is black and silver. But I'm excited for this one as well. It's really going to kind of package everything together and make it a really, really nice experience.
Can't wait for mobile, man. Can you imagine?
I mean, so the fact that like, I think it's like 80% of users in crypto are using mobile, which is crazy because I use a desktop for everything.
Literally. The Solana thing has been the first time I've really used mobile. Really only over the last couple of weeks, first time using mobile. And man, it's slick using Phantom and, you know, going on the websites and interacting directly with the websites. I mean, that's what we want. And that's where the world is. I mean, period. It's just, you know, people are just we're literally dinosaurs using our desktop, right? So yeah, it'll be nice to get that mobile up and running.
There's just so many hacks. I'm terrified of mobile.
Anything, bro? I'm terrified of everything. Literally everything, man. Literally.
So what's next, right? What's for quarter two? More of the same. I put here at the top what comes after Emblem Legacy, Emblem Markets, and Emblem Finance V2s, right? So once those are all out, our new products are live, we're kind of moved past, we're officially into V2 season, or the V2 era of Emblem Vault. Bulk features will be probably some of the first things that comes to Emblem Markets, as well as the return of the Vault Pad. If you remember with Embells, we've had a lot of questions and inquiries about, hey, how can I do my cross-chain collection through this Vault Pad? So we'd like to restart that. And then it's just support for all these different networks. We're actually going to take a pretty large focus on Bitcoin here over the rest of the year and moving forward to create that cross-pollination between EVM and Bitcoin and all of the protocols on Bitcoin, not just ordinals. Although Emblem will be deploying on ordinals first. Shannon and the team are already working on that. And again, as I mentioned before, we contracted a developer to help us get this moving as well. We do have a solid launch partner. And then after Bitcoin and some other plans, we will be deploying on Solana and all the Ethereum L2s. It's all packaged pretty nice together. Again, the whole vision is full stop to take your NFT and move it to any chain that you want. That's the bigger vision for the NFT side of Emblem Vault. There's a lot more things you could do with fungible tokens as well. But for Emblem, getting NFTs across chain and building various different types of products is very compelling because there's a lot of different things you could do. Leveraging some other Emblem technologies like TimeLock Vaults. Very, very excited for that. And how are we going to pair all this together, right? We have Emblem Markets, Emblem.Finance. You have 70 collections, right? You're on multiple chains. How do you get all the users to do this, to pull this all together? And so we have two different projects that we're building alongside this. Some of it involves tokenomics, some of this involves technology, and some of it just involves timing. And I'll let all of you guys kind of figure that out. We've been pretty clear on kind of where the direction of this is going and couldn't be more excited. The team is now a full team of six and the goal is to get larger and scale and putting some focus on Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of unique things that Emblem can offer that literally nobody else really can. So that is the end of my presentation. It was a little bit short and sweet today because we've been grinding, man, but it was a little bit more of a month filled with kind of backend infrastructure and hanging down in New York to say.
I think at the end it's like I understand the feeling of like, wow, you guys have taken so long, you know, taking care of the legacy collection. Well, it's going to take forever to launch new collections, but it's the complete opposite. It's like the legacy and all the work of building new tools around legacy, getting legacy actually migrated, will make continuing in next collections like literally snap of the fingers. I mean, that's the thing that I think even we're not ready for. Like when we actually have the tech fully done, the ability to add collections and add this kind of cross-chain compatibility for new collections is going to be like same day type stuff. So that'll allow this kind of like just explosion of creativity, I think, which is super, super exciting.
It's tough to predict. It's every new meta, every new trend, there's new ideas that get brought to us. Some of the recent ones, again, the two main inquiries from different types of individuals surrounds Bitcoin L2s and meme coins.
Yep.
Literally all the Bitcoin L2s reached out to us, and then a handful of meme coin creators who created successful tokens said, how the hell do I leverage this in my product that exists cross-chain? Because the industry is just becoming collectively multi-chain. People are like traders are interacting with 5 to 10 chains per day for trading. Builders are saying, hey, we have assets on Bitcoin. Now we've been doing this for a year. We have to use EVM if we want to create some sort of compatibility or to scale. Or you take the OPCAT route where you say, hey, we want to keep it Bitcoin native, but we have to push this narrative to get a soft fork upgrade, which could be a year away, right? And so at the end of the day, there's a ton of builders that are saying, hey, we'd like to use this, but we're not going to wait a year because we're going to lose at the end of the day if we have to wait. So there is this hyper blend of EVM and now SVM as well and Bitcoin. And so we want to be able to cross-pollinate that the best way that we can and build with the tools that we have and the team that we have. And eventually, you know, so others will catch on. In terms of funding, right, the VCs still have no fucking idea what Emblem Vault is, no matter how many times I have to explain it to them. They still don't get it, or they don't like the value prospect of it, right? Which is, for VCs, is okay. I think Emblem is just more of a retail or a crypto native type product because it's an advanced product than it is something of an investable vehicle, some of these funds.
When token, Jake. When token.
What's up, Dogfather? Good to see you.
Yeah, GM. I have just one particular question. So with the bulk mint, let's say someone has a SEMA fungible token, let's say a Rep Happy or some Doge Party asset, and they want to vault, let's say 10 or more. How does it work in terms of fees? Is this like kind of like the same fees? It's just like easier because you don't have to go through all the clicks 10 times, or is it like also fee optimized?
We do want to fee optimize it. We also have plans to optimize it even further with future tokenomics. And so, yeah, there will be like the difference of minting one vault for $20 or minting $100 for X amount. There will definitely be a natural discount there. And then possibly a even further discount with, you know, for our holders, depending on whatever thing you're holding, right? Whether it's MBELs or COVAL or whatever comes next. Again, we've explored all of that, and we want to make it a completely robust system for pricing, no matter if you're interacting with Emblem on Solana, Emblem on Bitcoin, Emblem on EVM. Shouldn't really matter, but we do want to make that experience a little bit better. And how bulk minting will work is basically, it depends on if you're doing ERC 1155 or ERC 721. So if you're doing ERC 1155, it's pretty simple. You would just use the Nakamoto vaults times 10 and you would hit mint and it would give you 10 addresses to all the vaults. And then you could just multi-send that way. With ERC 721, it's a little bit different because they're different assets. So we're exploring different ways. One way is you can either take all of your different assets and send it into one deposit address, and then it just mints it to all of these different collections simultaneously. Or we do a bulk mint for just individual ERC 721 collections, right? So for example, if you have like 50 Bitcoin stamps that you want to vault, you would just hit bulk mint Bitcoin stamps collection, and then you would just send all 50 to one single address, and then it would probably just mint them to 50 different ones. It's possible. There's still a little bit of exploration there, but you will be able to do the same thing also with bulk unlocking as well. If there's any other questions, let me know. It seems like on the live stream, it's mostly just viewers today. Somebody was asking about Bells Coin. Bells Coin is, right? We're talking about Bells.
Are we talking about Bells? Tomorrow's show, Bells tomorrow. And I want to get into Dogfather. Maybe you can help with the node setup. Jake, you got your node up and running for the halving, man. You ready?
I'm not.
You're out. You're like, forget it, man. I'm not doing it this time.
To me, I'm just participating. I mean, I think it'll be fun watching, but sitting there and etching, I mean, I know Trevor's going hard on it. It's definitely appealing. To me, it's like, I made this post yesterday. If you're going to sit there and etch the early ones, you're going to have to pay. You're going to need a large amount of capital because the fees are going to be so high. And it is, there's risk there where it's, you know, if fees sustain above 300 sats per VByte for 4 days, and basically all those collections minted in the first 4 days are going to have kind of a, you know, like a built-in floor based off of the amount of fees that were contributed for it. But if you have 1,000 collections that have a sustained floor of 10 million or 20 million just because of fees, I think it just becomes a crapshoot of like, which, like, only 10 of these will survive or something. That's an arbitrary number, but I can't see all of those ones that are early minted surviving. So it's, to me, the highest risk, highest reward is etching that. I don't know if I'm in that game or not.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. It seems like there's so much attention there. And when there's all this attention, you tend to not have that kind of outsized reward potential, right? Early ordinals, you got hugely rewarded because there wasn't much attention, right? Not many people were doing it. It seems like, you know, even with what TO's pushing, like get everybody up and running with nodes and stuff, it's like, wow, how's this going to be, you know, where's going to be that return when literally tens of thousands of people are like running their own node and etching? But I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see.
What's up, Dogfeller?
It's pretty simple. There are not 10,000 people running their own node.
How many people have you done the math yet, brother? How many people are gonna be ready for this, man? Tell me.
I mean, I just see that in the Discords where people have no clue what they're doing and just asking like random stuff. They are not ready. I mean, even if they have their node up and running, maybe they have one big UTXO with, let's say, 0.5 BTC, and then they do one mint transaction and, you know, choose a fee that's a bit too low, and then they wait 5 hours. You know, all these kind of like little things, the little details, if you're not super experienced with a node and haven't really played around over the last couple of months with that, know how to inscribe, know how to handle UTXOs, know how to RBF stuff, you know how to work with the console, I wouldn't even bother, right? I mean, there's so many like minting services popping up left and right. New ones, like rune-specific ones, but also like OGs, like Ordner's bot. You'd rather pay the $10, you know, service fees, and they handle your stuff. The only problem is, and I think Jake 300 reset, this is nothing. I mean, this you will see way higher levels. So let's say you want to mint some stuff, and just to pay the fees cost you $100. I mean, for most people, that's not like the market. It's not like the situation. This is like big guys' business, deep pocket business in the early days. So either you do that, you know, on full scale, or you just wait a few days till, you know, the dust has settled. Or you just go into some solid pre-ruin projects and invest right now. And but, you know, the day of the halving and the day and the week afterwards, this will be very hard. I mean, I will try it because just, you know, like as a comparative spirit, I just want to see how this works, but also not like fully, you know, selling the farm and doing everything on that.
So wait, have you already tried etching and all that sort of stuff? You got your node up and running. You're ready to go. How comfortable are you?
I mean, I played around on testnet quite a bit. So this, I mean, it's like BSC20, right? I mean, it's even easier. You just say mint and click. You don't have to specify the number. You don't have, I mean, it's basically simpler. The only problem are the fees. Really, I mean, if the fees are like 1,000 and there is a popular mint and the Chinese alpha groups are pushing that, this will mint out within a few blocks. And even if you spend $1,000, you may not mint it because they spend 1,100 or 2,000, right? You know?
Yeah, what's the prevention from doing the attacking it? You put in 1,000, somebody puts in 1,010, right? And steals it from you or swipes it from you.
If they have a better tool and see that, okay, 1,000 is not enough, then they just RBF all their you know, mints, and then you're priced out. So if you don't know how to check the mempool and how to kind of like optimize and speed up your transactions, then you're out. So I would say if you're not really a professional, I would not mint those runes that will mint out within a day or so. You know, where you have like an oddy type of number of transactions, like 21 million and 1,000 max mint, that means 21,000 transactions. These are the type of runes that are not retail kind of, this is just not the retail coin, because there will be crazy competition. If this is like the Chinese whale rune, no way you have a chance, right, to get that at a reasonable price. So you can do something like Casey's rune. You wait a month, you wait till you pay like 10, 20 bucks. That's fine, because you have 4 years till this is like minted out. So this is like retail. This is cool for retail. But all these things that are mint out quickly, I'm not touching those. It's just too, I mean, could be that you spend 1,000 and then you're sniped out and then you have nothing. So this is just, would be like just a bad experience.
Yep.
Yeah, there's always the possibility that you have the miners come in and literally mint all of the first ones as well.
That is, I almost like feel like that's guaranteed. Like, I just feel like that's going to happen. You know, these guys are super smart. They know what's happening. I just, you know, do I feel like Charlie's going to be minting all this stuff? Yeah, totally. Totally, dude. I mean, how could he not? Right. It just seems like the experts, to Dogfather's points, the big players are going to be eating this stuff up.
You just need a lot of capital is really what it is. I'll be sitting on sideline. I got some pre-runes, so I'm just hanging out. And my actual interest, and then we can kind of wrap it up here, is seeing the decks and marketplace experience. Like Magic Eden's promoting pretty hard that they're going to be supporting runes. Is that going to be trading similar to BRC20 kind of style, where you're buying it in packets? Is there going to be a DEX kind of experience, something similar to Uniswap? What are the centralized exchanges doing? I think there's going to be some very fantastic blowups in the first 2 weeks in terms of people attempting to do runes because of the Cenotaph thing, where somebody fucks it up and loses all their funds or loses their customers' funds. I also think there's going to be a handful of these pre-rune projects that blow up completely as well in transition. That's another coordination experience, right? Some of these realize if you have 10,000 holders, right, it's going to cost you probably a Bitcoin or two to get them these runes. Some of these teams probably do not have those funds, right? They're just holding on for dear life, and they're probably going to exit pump right before that's needed. Oh my God, dude. Or they leave, right? I mean, like I said, I was listening to Solana Chris talk about his Bitmap Valley thing and his runes, and he said that to airdrop to 30,000 wallets was like 7 Bitcoin or something, or 6 Bitcoin, something crazy, right? And so if that's the case, he said that he had to build a custom claim tool, which he had to partner with. Like, do these teams have that experience to build a claim tool, even though they had to partner, right? So there's all these like variables to it, to first getting the pre-runes across the line. So you got to figure out who has capital. Like, to me, no doubt Arsic and Runestone will be fine. Anything else, I'm somewhat questionable about. There is rumors that the Arsic guys, Roktoshi and them, are building their own DEX tool, right? There's one called RuneDEX. They're speculating he did that. So there'll be a lot of these boutique kind of DEXs. And then you'll have these Goliaths come in and try to build as well. There'll be some competition. I think Magic Eden will be fine. I think you'll probably see one or two winners in terms of like the boutique style come in and really capture liquidity. And I think everything else will probably blow up pretty fast. But we'll see.
Bear's take. Totally possible, though. I mean, you could be completely right. I mean, my feeling is like, well, what is this really going to supplant Solana and the ability of Solana to have this really nice user experience on the phone, trade meme coins? It's seamless, it works well, it's fast. You know, even though stuff fails, when it fails and your transaction doesn't go through, you don't lose money, right? Is it going to be similar to that? If not, if it's a much, much worse experience, to kind of your point, what happens with this? Does this die a quick death, or does it? No, it completely takes over because this is where all the liquidity is. It's going to be fun to watch how this plays out for sure.
I think runes will be fine. I just think Bitcoin is just meme coins for boomers, dude. I mean, it's got a 10 minute block time, so you don't have to sit there with just literally eyeballs to the phone 24/7. You could kind of walk away. Somebody messaged me yesterday that was attempting to build pump.fund for Bitcoin, right? So there's people already kind of circling and trying to take all these meme coin ideas and try to apply it to Bitcoin. Obviously, it's going to have a much different kind of mechanism to it, but Bitcoin is just like, it has this free and fair open mint. So you can't really lock this liquidity, right? Which is like some of the like things that make meme coins fun and also sketchy with like, is the dev going to rug the liquidity? Is he going to do this, right? Like some of that stuff doesn't exist on Bitcoin, but it also has its own issues. Like, okay, if I can just infinitely post free mints for every coin, right? Now I have to, right? I have to spend capital to mint these out, but then it's like, okay, once it mints out, will the community support the token, right? Like, did a whale mine all of these beforehand? Is he just going to dump them? Is it going to get listed? How do you do LP pools? Like, there's so many different questions. That's why I'm kind of waiting it out. But I think runes will be fine. I actually think BRC20 will be fine. And Casey's actually even said that he's uncertain if runes will even be able to unseat BRC20. Because when you have an incumbent and infrastructure built around it, it's going to be tough. So,
yep.
We'll see what happens. If there's any other questions here, please raise your hand or forever hold your peace. Same on the live stream. I will cut out the presentation and repost it in a simple video so that people can consume it. It seems like everyone wanted the 30 to 40 minute presentation. The first time we did 2 hours, which again, right, was, I guess, a little bit too much. Last time we cut it down to an hour, everyone said it was too long, so... And we got about 30 minutes and we'll post it in all different forms. And our objective, our road is completing Emblem Legacy, launching Emblem Markets, getting Emblem.finance launched. Then the fun starts after that. So stay tuned for that. Adam, any final takeaways from the town hall, our third in Emblem history?
Emblem season 2 is going to be amazing, bro. It's honestly, our timing is going to be great once this is done in the next month or so, and like, let's go, it's on, bull runs here, stuff's happening everywhere. This is going to be awesome, bro.
I'm most excited about Emblem on Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of fun stuff you could do there. Totally. That we will be literally on the frontier that no one else can do, so it's gonna be some mistakes, but there'll also be some very crazy ideas that circle from Emblem on Bitcoin. All right, everybody. Until then, enjoy your Wednesday. Make sure that you follow everyone on stage. Myself, Adam, and Chris. We work at Emblem Vault, the leading cross-chain NFT protocol in the industry with over 100 million in TVV. That's total value vaulted. We do the show Tuesday through Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Tomorrow, we are back for our inscription show, which is market talk around all of the inscription ecosystems, whether that's Litecoin ordinals, Dogenals, stamps, Bellinals, Hashnals. They keep growing and growing. And until then, guys, we will see you tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Stay safe out there.